Welcome to my podcast, Patient First. I'm Dr. Naveen Somaya. I'm an Australian registered specialist plastic surgeon with 17 years of surgical experience. As the scientific convener of the Non-Surgical Symposium and a former president of the Australasian Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons, my goal is to help patients navigate the complex world of both surgical and non-surgical aesthetics, but by understanding what is evidence and what is not. This, I hope, is going to help them realize their aesthetic goals safely and in a manner consistent with good clinical practice. This podcast is an extension of that legacy. My aim is to empower you to make the most educated decisions about your choices concerning your face and body aesthetics and your safety. Each episode, I will be bringing to you cutting-edge science and exploring surgical procedures in a modern, evidence-based approach to aesthetics. Plus, I will be inviting some esteemed guests in my podcast in the future to offer new perspectives. Tune in each week as together we explore the next frontier of surgical and non-surgical aesthetics. As a specialist plastic surgeon, it's not uncommon for me to encounter patients who are well-versed with what's trending in the universe of plastic surgery, not just locally, but also globally. So when they come to see me for a consultation, it is natural they will raise these topics with me. What I find, there are two categories of trends. One trend is something that is gradually gaining momentum that could be an exaggerated version of what we already practice, which could be looked at a bit more critically to see if there's evidence behind them to support the introduction of that particular treatment. If your underlying bony structure does not support a Fox eye lift, your soft tissue manipulation, in other words, the manipulation of the eyebrow, the upper eyelid skin, and the eyelid corners, can actually make you look quite quote-unquote harsh or a very strange, angry look. So although you may have achieved what is technically a Fox eye lift based on the trend that you're so convinced about, it may not necessarily suit your face. Then we also have to take into account, which I do when I talk to my patients, that your upper face, your middle face, and your lower face has to blend in a seamless manner to give you that balance of aesthetics in your face. In other words, once you disrupt the aesthetic balance, people start looking at you in a manner that is not consistent with what they think is normal. Misguiding terminology. Terminology that somehow seems to convey the impression that you can get a surgical outcome with a non-surgical intervention. This is not just illogical, it is totally untrue. So when you hear terms like spider web facelift, now, how could you get a facelift effect using something that is a non-surgical option is beyond me. Is there any evidence to support it? There is no evidence to support it. Medical professionals, and indeed healthcare professionals, do have an obligation to be accurate in how they report data and how they convey the messaging and the comms. But if you do not fall in under the category of a healthcare professional, there are no real guidelines to guide you in how you can say certain information pieces. Are there any guidelines of how much is too much, how little is too little? So there is no scientific temper to this reporting. It becomes an opinion that often replaces evidence. And in some cases, we need to come back to reality to say, this is possible, this is not. This is doable, this is not. And what you're experiencing and what you're expecting is not realistic. So in some ways, managing that expectation is the key to the success of the consultation. And most of the time, when we consult with patients, and I do that particularly with my eyelid patients and other facial aesthetic patients, where a lot of the trending topics tend to be, is to try and match the results or expected results to what is basically possible based on your anatomy, your bony skeletal structure, your balance between your upper third, your middle third, and the lower third of your face, and also to ensure that your skincare becomes an essential part of your overall facial aesthetic makeup. Seen a few celebrities who've had the procedure done. She likes the looks that she sees on social media. We take her through a process where we first explain the nature of the buccal fat, what the role of the buccal fat is, what is the natural history of the buccal fat, and do you really have excess buccal fat, or is it proportional to your face, proportional to your body? The risks of buccal fat removal mentioned, the short term, medium, and the long term. And one of the drawbacks is, yes, it might give you a quote-unquote sculpted, chiseled, hollow look straight away and initially, but as you age, what will happen is it will make the appearance exaggerated. And what you should or what you'd expect to look normal for your age will become an exaggerated age look, which is not really in your best interest. And unfortunately, when you get a snippet of information based on a trend of social media, and that is why we say that an evidence-based consultative process with the professional who is performing surgery in the capacity of a registered specialist plastic surgeon would always enhance the value and enhance your decision-making process. Another common example I see in my practice is for a young woman to ask for a certain look when it comes to breast augmentation. And unfortunately, that particular kind of look will necessitate using an implant size that is significantly larger than what would be more appropriate for that patient's body, breast, and soft tissue support structures. So when that request is in front of me, I usually go through this process in a manner you'd go through based on the evidence in front of you, which is the patient's measurements, patient's body structure, the life changes the patient's undergone so far, and what might she undergo in the future? In other words, is she pregnant? Will she be pregnant in the future? Will she breastfeed? And what will the breast look like as you age? Now, the fundamental issue with any tissue is it will become weaker with age. So fast forward 5 years, fast forward 10 years, fast forward 20 years, your breast tissue and your support structures will start to weaken, both at the skin level, both at the ligamentous level, and also there is going to be displacement of the breast gland based on the new anatomy. Now, if you have an implant that is consistent with your body and proportional to your body, that allows your existing tissue to support it. Whereas if you have an implant that is too big because you have chased a trend or you wanted a look that matches the one that you like on social media. Now, this is a combination of marketing, endorsement, influencer marketing, and the overall results that are shown on the internet on social media based on before and after photos. And when we see these photos do not show one important thing. They do not show the post-operative care. They do not show the time for recovery. They do not show the bruising or anything that is unsightly or untoward or difficult on the patient. So for the patient who is not aware of the reality of post-operative care and the post-operative downtime, risk of complications, this may be seen as a very easy procedure where you go in, you walk out, go from before to after in a matter of quick succession. And marketing jargon surrounding BBL often tends to downplay the risks. Unfortunately, that is not accurate. This procedure has significant risks, and this is one of the only cosmetic surgery procedures that has a risk of fat entering the vein while the procedure is being performed. And unfortunately, this fat can end up in the lung with disastrous consequences because there is a huge amount of fat being sucked from another place and then injected into the butt area to increase the definition of the butt. This fat that has been taken from one point and put into the buttock area is still biological tissue, is still subject to its ability to survive. Does every single fat cell survive? The science does not support that view. So there is a certain amount of fat cells that die. And as a consequence of that, your aesthetic outcomes will reflect that underlying biological activity. I'm not saying that Brazilian butt lift is not a bad procedure. I'm saying it is a surgical procedure with significant risks. So when you go ahead and go with this procedure, it is your best option to go with the qualified specialist plastic surgeon who knows your anatomy, knows the limitations of what can be done, can take you through a process based on what is current scientific evidence, and who also knows what are the safety limits that you cannot transgress. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Patient First. I hope you found this podcast useful. Remember, I'm always listening, and if you have any questions you would like me to answer on the show or upcoming episodes, please connect with me via my clinic website. Thank you.